I wanted to speak to you this morning about the king's command, the command from the king. Spoke a little while ago about being an ambassador for the king, his representative, his herald, the one that would go forth and proclaim and speak the gospel of the kingdom, to bring the good news that that's our job, that we've been given the ministry, which means we have that role, we have that job of bringing people into reconciliation with the Father, and we have the message. We have the message, which is the message of the gospel. But I want to talk about in our own life now about how we might bring the word of God to bear in our own heart and our life, that the command of the king that is given from the throne of God, that the command of the king that is spoken with full authority and power would be manifest in our life and in the circumstances and the situations that we face and come against. Because we all go through things in life, and the difference that sets people apart is not that some people go through harder things than others. It's how they handle, how they cope with the things that they go through. What do the things define them that they go through, or does the things of Christ define you? Does the problem become your identity, or is your identity found in Christ? Where does it come from? Where is your life? Because some people define themselves by their financial situation. Some people define themselves by their health. How do you define yourself and how do you see yourself? It's very important that we see ourselves as ones that are in Christ Jesus, and that we know how to give the king's command and to speak that forth. We know our scripture for the year: your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your dominion endures through all generations. Psalm 145:13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. Hopefully we're getting that within our heart and within our spirit. But I want to talk about the Lord's command. There's something about when the king says something, then that demands obedience. When the king says something, then that has to be enacted. It has to happen when there's an edict from the king. And I want to talk about that the king's command is actually something that has gone forth into your life, into my life, into our heart, and even into our mouth. Just whether we learn to give the command from the king to be the one that speaks that word forth. Jeremiah 1:9-10 says this: "Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to plant and to build.'" What a powerful thing that he was saying to young Jeremiah. He was speaking to him and he says, "I put my words in your mouth." Now just think about it for a moment, about our mouth. And we know it talks about James, about watching our tongue, and you know, should come out of our tongue, that you know, can cursing and blessing come forth from the same thing. And but there's something about our mouth, and there's something about God has actually put his words in our mouth. But many of us don't know how to use them. People talk about silly things, trivial things, but we don't know how to use the Lord's command, the king's command, his voice. "Now I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms." What an authority that has been given, the word of God, the command of the king that has been put within our mouth. Very powerful. We don't understand quite often what the power and authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 51:16 puts it this way. It says, "I put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand." What a wonderful thing that you got the covering of the Father over you. You got the protection of the Father over our lives. But he's put his words in my mouth. His words in my mouth. But quite often what comes out of our mouth, well, a whole lot of things perhaps shouldn't. We confess a whole lot of negative stuff, and maybe we say things perhaps that we shouldn't say. But I put my words in your mouth. And there's the command of the king that has been given, and he wants us as his mouthpiece to speak that forth. Yes, as his herald and as an ambassador, as the one who speaks forth the good news. But it's a key here in terms of reigning and ruling in life, is to know the king's command in my circumstance, to know the king's command in my situation, and be able to stand in that and the authority of the king's command. Because I put my words in your mouth, says the Lord. In your mouth, the word of God the Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign One, has put his words in the mouth. And he promises that. He tells us in Isaiah 59:21, he says this: "As for me, this is my covenant." Covenant. God makes a covenant. unbreakable covenant. This is a promise of God. And this, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you, praise God, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on forever, says the Lord. Amen. And so it says these words, it says, won't depart from your mouth. It's not saying, oh, you will never speak them. It's saying, no, you will never stop speaking them. You will never not have the ability to speak the words, my words, the king's command that I put in your mouth. It's a covenantal promise that God has given. He's given us the ability to speak forth his word. My spirit who is on you and my words that I put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth. In other words, you're always going to have the ability to speak forth the word of God. Speak forth his words and with the power and the authority of the throne of heaven. Something that God has given and promised us in our lives. Problem for us is that we don't do that, or we don't know how to do that, and then we get overwhelmed, we get intimidated in life, and we get ruled and overcome, and we're supposed to be ruling and reigning, and we think, well, that's really good, that sounds really nice, but you don't know about my situation, you don't know about my problems, and sounds all very nice, reigning and ruling with Jesus, but I got the reality of what I go home to, or what happens tomorrow on Monday morning, or what's happening in the family, or whatever it is. And we say, well, it all sounds really nice, but I've got to live my life and I've got all these things going on. It's because we so freely and readily accept everything and without actually bringing the Lord's command, bringing the Lord's voice into the situation, the circumstance of our lives. Certainly not saying that we're not going to face challenges and struggles. We do. It's a part of life. But there are certain things that seem to rise up and come to block us and challenge us. And I would say that probably every one of us, some of you may be facing a mountain at the moment. Or if you're not facing a mountain right now, at times in life we will have mountains that come and stand against us and stand before us. And the challenge is, what do we do in life when we come up against this mountain that stands before us? The mountain that says, I am the mountain and I tower above you and you are small and you are insignificant. The mountain that says, I am the mountain and it says that I am immovable. And you cannot get past me. You can get over me. You can't go around me. You are stuck. You are blocked. The mountain that says to us, it says, I stand here and I cast my shadow over you, my shadow of darkness and the shadow of despair over your life. That's what the mountain says to us. The mountain that says that I could even fall down and I could even come and crush the living life out of you. And sometimes we come up against something like that, something that is such an intimidating situation and circumstance in our life. Could be a number of things. It may be your finances, maybe something, massive financial thing that just seems as if this thing is insurmountable. There's no way you're going to be able to stand against this. Could be a relationship situation where it just seems as if there's just no way. This thing just seems impossible. It just seems intimidating. Just seems overwhelming. It could be something to do with our body, something within our health, that the doctors have spoken the words of death almost over my life, or they've categorized me. They've said I've got this thing or that complaint, either physically or psychologically or whatever it is, and now I'm categorized for the rest of my life, and now I'm under this thing that is intimidating and huge in my life. And we all come against different mountains that come in different forms and shapes in our lives. And the point is, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Some of us now are facing a big mountain. And now we could come back and we could be here in fear and suddenly this thing becomes the definer of my life. I'm defined by my illness now. This is who I am. I'm defined by my want and my need. That's who I am. I just don't have anything and I have to struggle through life. Or something can begin to change within our heart. Some people will even cry, God, say, God, please take away the mountain. And I believe God is saying, no, he wants us to do something. He wants us to begin to learn the king's command and we got to stand in the power and the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. Because if you're not facing a mountain will come and it will plonk itself right in your path. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be stuck there for years, more months, years, rest of your life, stuck with this thing there, or you do something about it? And what happened is some people can get very intimidated. Some things in life can be pretty intimidating. Some things can be pretty overwhelming that we have to face. We live in a tough world. We live in a world that's full of sin and wickedness and a whole lot of things that are out there in this world. What do we do about it? So what happened with the children of Israel when they were sent out into the promised land and they were to go into the promised land? But right in the middle of everything, the land of milk and honey and everything that God had was this whopping big thing of giants in the land. And it says here in Numbers 13:33, it says, "We saw giants there, the descendants of Anak, and next to them we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. It's like, we are the sons of Anak, we are the giants, and you're just this little, weedy, insignificant little grasshopper. And they said, "Yeah, we felt like grasshoppers." And they thought we were grasshoppers too. But it's not actually true. It was actually wrong. If you read in Joshua 2:9, and this is when with Rahab, who lets the spies in, two new spies that go into after a generation have died in the desert because of their unbelief. It says, and said to them, "I know the Lord has given you this land, and that the great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." And so here they were thinking, "Oh, we're like grasshoppers in front of the giants," and they were saying, and they think we're grasshoppers too. Not true. What the reality was is that the giants and they're saying, "Uh-oh, these guys are coming. Their hearts are melting in fear because of the situation, because they knew that there was an authority that was there." But that's how we can be. We can have our hearts in fear and trembling and being overwhelmed and overcome, thinking that our situation is unassailable, unalterable, that we're never going to get through. We're stuck here now. This is it. This is my life. Just going to have to accept this thing now. That's it. And that's done. No, we don't have to be one like that. See, there was a young man in the Bible, David. We all know the story of David and Goliath. And we know that the children of Israel were there, and the whole army was gathered ready for battle. But who comes out? So the Israelites are here, you've got the Philistines. Out comes Goliath of Gath. He comes out, this big, massive, towering giant. And he stands there and he issues this challenge and says, "Well, you send a champion and we will fight. And whoever wins, well, they win the battle." And so the children of Israel, full of faith, no. Intimidated, fearful. They see this big, whopping, big Goliath there, and immediately they're all full of fear. Every one of them, from the least to the greatest, even the King Saul, towering, big, tall King Saul, who was taller than all the rest, head and shoulders above the rest. You think King Saul, he would be the one because he's nice and tall. He was there carrying away. Everyone's carrying away. And for 40 days, Goliath comes and he says, "Come on, you useless bunch of wimps, you hopeless, pathetic losers. You're hopeless, you're defeated, you can't hurt me. Come on, you weaklings," and comes and for 40 days, every day. So these people, they all line up nicely. Everybody's in a nice little line, sword and spear, all ready to go. And Goliath comes up every day, comes and berates them, talks them down, tells them, says, "Your God is hopeless. Where is your God? What's he doing in this situation? Where is he?" And for 40 days, every day, can you imagine doing that? You wake up, you have your breakfast, you get there, you get your swords, you get your shield, get everything all lined up, ready to go, and we're all ready to get abused. For 40 days, every day, 40 days. And we laugh at that and think that's crazy. How many Christians do that? They get up, they have their breakfast, they get ready, and then they're there, and then they stand there, and they're just ready, passive, allowing the enemy to come with the circumstances, this mountain, this giant, whatever it is, the circumstance, and that's there talking to us. It's speaking to us. It's telling us how we're useless, how hopeless are, we're defeated, that we're never going to get through this. This is it. Too bad. You're stuck. And that's just, and yet we do that. And 40 days, some Christians listen to that for 40 years. They're there already lined up in battle, look nice and shiny, all ready to go. But they never know how to execute the King's command. Never know how to speak forth the word of God. And there's times in my life where I've had this whopping big thing that's come there. And I've had a choice. I can either go bury myself in a hole, run away and hide, or I, it's something like David. See, David, he saw this and he thought, guys, what is going on here? What are you doing? What are you thinking? David comes along, little shepherd boy, little David, maybe 15, 16, however old he is. The army's there, his older brothers, three of his older brothers are there, they're in the army, and they say, David, look at you, just wicked David, look at you, you just come to watch the battle. David said, what do I do? Didn't do anything, I've just walked up here. And then immediately he goes and asks, well, what's happening? He sees Goliath coming and saying, well, anybody going to stand up to this guy? Anybody going to say anything to him? And anyway, so David's asking questions, finally goes to King Saul, and you all know the story from there. But when the battle is there, David, he stands before Goliath, and this is what he says. He says, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And the scripture tells that David, he's got a little sling and his little stones, he gets there, and he's not there. He's running full on. He's running full on into this battle. Goliath's coming and David's meeting him with a full charge, and boom, off goes the bang. We all know the story. Goliath is done. But something rose up in David's spirit. At times in my heart, something's had to rise up because I had a choice to make, whether I can stay in fear and intimidation and line up, look nice and shiny, look all ready to go, but just living under this thing. 40 days, maybe 40 years of this situation, this circumstance, just speaking and yelling and talking to my life and not knowing that actually I have the power of the King's command. I have the word of God within my heart and life. I have an authority in the risen Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus actually said to the disciples, they were talking, they tried to deliver these people from demonic activity and they just couldn't do it. And they said, Jesus, we couldn't do it. What's wrong? And Jesus says, guys, again, replied, you couldn't do it because you had so little faith. But truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. You know how big a mustard seed is? Get the normal rice that we normally have, long grain rice, but you might have short grain rice, but get a normal piece of a grain of rice, cut it in about three, and you're pretty close to the size of a mustard seed. It's pretty small, about a third of a grain of long grain rice. That's pretty tiny little mustard seed. If you've got this tiniest little bit of faith, the tiniest insurmountable smallest little bit of faith, it says, if you have that faith, you can say to this mountain, it says, move from here to there. Get out of here. You go from here. We've already had a prophetic word about that this morning, and it will move. This is what Jesus is saying. It says, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Amen. Because we have the Lord's promised us, he says, I put my word in your mouth. And that when we speak forth and when we declare the word of God over this situation, it says the mountain will move. Jesus isn't lying to us. He's not humoring us. He's not teasing us. He's speaking forth the word of God, his heart, and saying that if you just have the slightest little bit of faith, I want to tell you that every one of you have more than this little bit of faith. You actually have more than that. Scripture tells us that we've all been given a measure of faith. Well, you've got enough faith. I want to reassure you, first of all, I've got enough faith. You do have enough faith. You think, oh, this is great, but I don't have the faith. No, you have enough faith. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're giving your life to him. You have a portion of faith. You have enough faith to be able to rule and reign in Christ. He's given us enough faith. But he says you can say. And there's something about us is that when we stand there in front of this situation, we can just line up looking shiny and intimidated, or we can run away and hide, or we can actually allow something, the Spirit of God, to rise up in our heart. And we begin to say, no, I am a child of the King. And my stand in the name of Jesus Christ is higher than any other name. That I am a child of the King and my feet are firmly founded on the rock of Jesus Christ, and I will not be moved and I will not be shaken. And I stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King and I speak to you, mountain. I speak to you, finances. I speak to you, relationship. I speak to you, health problem in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say that Jesus is my provider. He is the Lord of my life. Grace is sufficient for me. We're reminded of that this morning. But he is my provider. And the scripture says, I shall not want. And so you be gone, you devourer in the name of Jesus Christ. You sickness, you disease, this Lord tells me that by his stripes I am healed. And I'm going to speak that word of God, and I'm going to come against that mountain and declare, you be gone, you problem, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever the situation is, something rises up within us and we speak it forth. And I'm not talking about a passive prayer, Lord, please take it away. I'm talking about something like David gets in there, everybody else is there, woo-hoo-hoo, and he's there running with just a little bit of, you know, a little bit of leather swinging around with a stone in it. Goliath is there and he runs to the battle. And we've got the words of God in our mouth. We have the word of God to knock down every mountain. Jeremiah 23:29, it says this, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks to pieces? Amen. See the power of God in the word of God. You speak the word of God into your situation and said, oh, I don't know whether it's the word of God. Well, you know the word of God. If you're sick, you know, by his stripes, I was healed. We know that. We all know, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And we have that. And maybe we quote that, but we never actually come and we don't speak to the mountain. Speak to the situation. Don't be just saying, God, please deliver me. God's faithful, but he wants us to stand at the voice of the king's command, and to speak to that situation. We get something to rise within your heart. Say, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to let the devil try to have his way over my life. I am a child of the king. How dare he? Something rises within you. David was saying, how can this uncircumcised Philistine be defying the living God? Something rose up within him. How can this mountain of whatever it is be defying the purposes of God that he has in our life? Doesn't have the right to do that. And so something rises up, and therefore then we need to speak forth the word. Speak it out. Declare the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 41:15 says this, see, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. And you will thresh the mountains and crush them. You will reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Well, that's what God has made you. You're this supernatural powerhouse that, yes, you will have the normal struggles of life. We all go through things. But every now and again, there's this mountain that seems to plonk itself in there, right in our path. And what are we going to do about it? And the scripture's telling us that we have the word of God in our mouth, a covenantal promise that we have the word of God. And so we read the word of God. That's why we read the word of God. We get the word of God in our heart and in our spirit. And so we're not just quoting it. We're actually declaring it, but we're just not speaking it into the air. We're actually speaking to the problem. We're addressing the problem. We're saying, your financial situation, and as a husband and wife or whoever it is, whatever the circumstance, you begin to speak to that. Don't accept every pronouncement's made over your life. The doctors, well, praise God for doctors, and God uses doctors amazingly. I praise God for them, for all that they do. But if they've diagnosed something and that becomes like a mountain that speaks to you, you can either lay down and die, or something can begin to stir in your own heart and say, hang on, wait on a minute, Lord, you gave me a word. You gave me a promise of something beyond that. Lord, there's something that you've placed within my heart. Lord, this isn't it. You haven't told me, yeah, this is it. You haven't borne witness to that in my spirit. No, Lord, this thing, this blockage, this thing, I'm just going to address it and tell it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Scripture says, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from us. But do you see yourself as that? Because if you see yourself as the one with the words of God in your mouth, and he's made you this big threshing sledge, sharp and new, and that every time a mountain comes there, you're just going to plonk it, chop it, cut it, get through it in the name of Jesus Christ as we speak to it and address it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how God sees us. We know the story in Ezekiel 37 where Ezekiel there, the symbolic of the children of Israel, and Ezekiel has this incredible vision. He sees all these bones all over this valley, your dry bones. And Lord says to him, he says, can these bones live? He goes, I don't know, God, can they? And he says, speak to the bones and prophesy, speak over them. And so he begins to do that, Ezekiel 37:4. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now you may feel a little bit silly speaking to this mountain, whatever it is. It's a relationship, it's a health thing, it's financial, whatever the thing is. But the Lord says to speak to it, speak to it, address it. Jesus says, say to the mountain. And he said to prophesy over this thing. And as soon as he began to prophesy, began to speak, well, you got the, knee bone connected to the thigh bone, whatever. All of the bits and pieces all started to get together and bang, here you go. But there's a life that comes. The breath of the Spirit of God is breathed into our situation when we speak forth the word of God. Declare it, proclaim it, proclaim his promises over, know them, but speak them. Don't just quote them into the air, but use them to speak to the problem in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the name of Jesus Christ is so powerful, so awesome, and so powerful. It says this about speaking to this thing, but it did say if you have faith. Now, as I said, I want to reassure you that we have faith, that you actually have a lot more faith than you realize. You have a lot more faith than you realize. And we've all been given a measure of faith, and there's a faith that's within us. But sometimes we can stand here and we can line up all nice and shiny and look the part, but just stand there under intimidation. And so it's something to rise within us. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the Lord's promise that his words are in your mouth. The King's command is there. And so that we can confidently, we can come and stand and say, well, I know Jesus Christ. I know he died on the cross, and I know he's defeated everything. And I know that actually nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. And so then I can come and I can speak to the problem in the name of Jesus Christ and see this mountain gone in Jesus' name. Don't live under the mountain. Don't live under the intimidation of it. It's heartbreaking when you see that. I'd love to go there and kick down your mountain, but God wants you to kick it because his words are in your mouth. We all want someone else to go there. We try to get a hire a contractor and say, look, there's a bit of a mountain there in my life. Will you just come and just bulldoze it down for me? And it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. People are waiting for the visiting evangelist to come. He'll be the bulldozer to get the mountain out. Well, I believe in these things in life. Certain things God wants us to rise up and wants us to put the words that he's put in our mouth and to speak them forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you fan this up? How do you stir this up? Because something was stirring in David's heart when he did that. And sometimes the reality is that when this mountain is there, and it seems to be towering above us, and it seems to be so big, it's almost like it blots out even our view of God. It's almost we can't see God anymore. All we can see is this intimidating thing in front of us. What do we do if we find ourselves in that situation, if we're there? I love this passage from Psalm chapter 39 and verse 3. What stirs up our heart? What makes our heart go hot? It says, my heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue. See, there's something about getting the Word of God, opening the Bible, reading the Bible, reading about who I am, reading about who God is, reading about what God's plan and purpose is. There's something about getting the Word of God and getting it inside my heart, starting to read the Word of God, beginning to understand it. And as you read and meditate on the Word of God, meditate on it. Don't just, I've done my one chapter. Oh, good, John, it took 7 minutes today. Woohoo, here I go, praise God, off I go to work. No. It says, as I meditated on it, as I thought about the Word of God, as I allowed it to penetrate, not just my mind, but as I let it become inculcated into my heart, into my spirit, as became part of who I was. It says that the fire begins to burn. Something begins to rise within me. David had such a heart. He had a worshipper's heart. He was always worshipping God and meditating on God and who he was and his ways. But that fire begins to rise. Something begins to stir in our heart. The fire rises up within us and then we speak. The fire burned and then I spoke with my tongue. And so if you're feeling intimidated, first things that we need to know is, number one, God has put his word, the king's command, is in your mouth. Absolute authority over the things that would try to come against us in our life. We've got to understand that, first of all. We've got to understand that we are a child of the king, and we feel like we're a grasshopper. We think the enemy thinks we're... No, that's wrong. Enemy's heart is melting in fear because of us. All we have to do is either walk around the desert for 40 years or else we can actually come in and we can begin to take the very thing that is ours and come against the mountain and to speak to the mountain, to address it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're here under discouragement and intimidation and despair, then I'd get on the Word of God and I'd be meditating on that and the fire of God begins to stir in my heart. So righteous indignation begins to come into my heart. A revelation of who God is and his plan and his purposes for my life begins to rise up. And I come and I speak to this thing. And there's a number of times in my life where I've done that. Circumstances that, you know, pretty overwhelming, even despairing situations and circumstances. And I knew at those points, those junctures in my life, I have a choice to make. I can either run away from everything or I can just line up nice and shiny in battle, being intimidated. People see me every day lining up, got my shield, look at me, we're ready to go, but still intimidated, not going forward as the children of Israel, 40 days doing this. Or something can rise and we can be like David and say, no, 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 no. And then we can get to go in there and we can speak the Lord's command into that. And it's not just stuff that I'm making up, words that we're making up. This is the very Word of God. The Word of God that's been put in our heart, that's sealed. That's why faith arises, because we spent that time meditating on God who he is, and that word of faith comes strong in our heart. And we come and say, no, enough is enough. And we are like that willowing, threshing sledge thing that it says. It's new and sharp and just cut the thing down and we go forward into what God has for our life. And so this morning, maybe if you're looking at you, you may be saying, well, praise God, I'm not facing a mountain. Well, tell you what, a mountain will plonk itself there at some time in your life. Some of you may already have the mountain there. Maybe some are running and hiding. Maybe some aren't hearing the message because they're running and hiding. Maybe some are all coming all nice and shining and bright, arrayed in battle, but still living under that constant intimidation. But I pray that God will stir something within your heart. The fire will burn and then you will speak with your tongue. Psalm 29 just tells us how wonderful and how powerful the voice of the Lord is. It says, the voice of the Lord is over the water. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks to pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord twists the oak and strips the forest bare. And all in his temple cry, glory. Where God speaks, things happen. We know that when he spoke, he created heaven and the word, let there be light, there's light. He just spoke it. When God is speaking in the situation, something happens. But it's your voice. It's your mouth. God's words in your mouth. We need to speak. Don't try to hire a bulldozer. Don't get someone else to do it for you. Don't be lazy. No, you confront that and you stand against it and you claim the promise of God, but speak it forth. Address the issue. Speak to the dry bones. Speak to the circumstance and see God do an amazing thing. And I've seen that time and time again. And I'm not saying my life has been full of mountains. We all have bumps and up and down hills all the way along the road. There's little things here and there, little things. You've got to watch what we're going and watch where we're going. But every now and again, and maybe three or four times in my life, there's been whopping big things that have gone plonk right there in defiance and saying, well, come on, what are you going to do now? And that's when we're at that choice. And I encourage you, Make the choice. If you're in that place of despair and under the shadow of that thing, I'll be getting into the Word of God. I'll be reading the Word of God, allowing that fire to rise and burn within me. And then like David, you're going to come out, not just there looking the part, nice and bright and shiny, but you're going to come out running and speak to that and see that thing defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. That's part of how we're supposed to be living victorious, a victorious Christian life. It's a bad testimony. A bad testimony when we are under the intimidation of the circumstances. God can give us grace to bear with many things, and He will help us through things. But if things are defeating us and crushing us, what kind of a testimony were the children of Israel to the rest of the surrounding nations? Think, gee whiz, these guys are an easy beat, aren't they? Just get some tall guy who can scream and shout a lot, and the whole army's paralyzed. No one can do nothing. And so right across all the surrounding nations, the world has started to spread. These guys really are a shiny-looking bunch of wimps. And no. We are the children of the living God. Christ is our King. Amen? And as we get the Word of God, stir it up, we're going to speak to the mountains in our life. And I just pray that we grab a hold of this morning, and that God's stirring something in your own heart. You may be facing a mountain now, you may be not. And I know there's people here in the church here that have gone through some massive mountains, and they've stood in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in fear and intimidation, and they've stood and spoken to the circumstances and problems, and they've come through. They haven't tried to go around it, try to avoid it. They've just said, get out my way in the name of Jesus Christ. And God does miracles. I think that's when miracles happen. This is the place of miracles. Where do you need the miracle? It's where the mountain is. That's where the miracle needs to be. And if it's all a nice highway and everything's nice, nothing in the way, who needs a miracle? I mean, you've got the miracle of salvation, praise God for that, but it's when the mountain's there. So I encourage you that. I just want to close with this last scripture, Psalm 97, verse 5. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. And just wanted you to see that in your own life. No, I'm not going to put up with these mountains in my life. I'm not going to be in despair and discouragement. I'm not going to be in fear and intimidation. I'm going to stand in who I am in Christ. And I'm going to speak forth the Word of God, which He's put in my mouth. Covenanted, put His Word in my mouth. Gives me the Word. It's not just to keep... It's the Word to speak. Remember two things. We've already spoken about us being His ambassador, His herald that have given to speak out the good news. But I'm speaking, bringing the King's command in the circumstance against the mountain. Say to the mountain, and it will be gone in Jesus' name. I mean, let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray for us this morning. If you're facing a mountain this morning, well, I'm going to pray that the Lord's going to start stirring your heart even now. Something of the Spirit of God is going to be stirred within your own heart, even now as we pray. Father, as we come together now, Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your Word that says, Lord, that You put Your Word in my mouth. And our mouth is Your Word, Lord. Lord, the very command of the King, Lord, that when You speak, Lord, things happen. And Lord, You put Your words in our mouth. And Lord, that You've said to us, so whatever the mountain that will come, that we can say to the mountain to move out the way in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, for anyone that is here that is facing a mountain right now. Father, I pray, Lord, already the Spirit is starting to stir their heart. Already the fire is starting to burn within them, Lord. And as they get a hold of Your Word and meditate upon Your Word, Lord, the written Word of God, as they meditate upon it, think upon it, Lord, study it, Lord, let it get inside the heart. Lord, the fire begins to rise and they stand and confront the problem and therefore speak and see amazing things happen, see breakthroughs, miracles, releases in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, Lord, I just pray You stir that in our hearts now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, stir us, Lord. Stir us, Lord. We're not going to live under a cloud of fear and intimidation. We're not going to allow the mountain to block our path and say, that's as far as You go. No, we stand and rise in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, mountain, You're broken down in the name of Jesus Christ. We see You broken to pieces, crushed in the name of Jesus Christ. We see the breath of the wind of the Spirit of God coming and blowing it away. All the peace is gone in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just thank You, Lord. I pray, Lord, let us live in this. Lord, this is where You want us to live. It's how You want us to live. Lord, help us to walk in this, Father, I pray. in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we bring this to you now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, whose entire life is not just a mountain in front of them, Lord, they live surrounded by mountains. And Lord, there's no way through and there's no hope and there's no purpose in life. Father, I pray this day, Lord, that they'll have the courage to come forward this day, to walk out of this seat and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need him. I need his power in my life. I need his authority, but I need his forgiveness and I need his love and grace in Jesus' name. Father, is anyone like that? Give them the courage to come this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, for those that are facing the mountains, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we meditate on your word, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, and as we pray, that fire will get burning within us, Lord, and we will speak and see miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.